popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along. It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you this week. The elimination and qualifying finals are out of the way. Jordan, welcome along. We're down to the pointy end of the season.
We certainly are. And when you look on the schedule and there's only eight games in an entire weekend and, you know, only one or two games per night, you know that you're at the business end of the year. And we certainly are now. And look, what is it? 18 games to go. In the entire season across the men's and women's divisions. And 16 of those will be played this weekend, and then we will see exactly where everyone is at. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's certainly a tight schedule this weekend because semi-finals and preliminary finals will be getting away ahead of the grand final the following weekend.
Yep, certainly is. And I think I've made a miscalculation there, but it's going to be eight games this weekend. How's my maths going? 16 teams will be participating across those games. But yeah, it's certainly a different setup this year. Last year, it was the back-to-back Friday, Saturday. Today, and you know, obviously fatigue played a factor in a couple of the preliminary final results, and so this year it's the expanded setup: Thursday and Saturday for the women's, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the men's. It's going to be spread across the state. We're going as far up as Geraldton, we're going to Mandurah, we're going to Rockingham. It's going to be really fun
into the goldfields as well, of course. Well, not for a home game, but they're coming this way, at least, anyway.
And they have the potential to, you know, have to travel to Joondalup and then maybe all the way up to Geraldton if they have a win on Friday night. They're going to have to travel and play at Active West Stadium in Geraldton.
Yeah,
it's going to be a heck of a trip.
They've probably got the biggest, the most potentially tough back-to-back type of scenario out of any of the teams.
If they make the grand final, they are going to have earned it. They are going to have earned it the hard way.
We've certainly got a massive show. Let's talk guests first before we take a quick look at results from the weekend. So, how about this list for you? Robbie Ryan from the Joondalup Wolves, Devondrick Walker, the league MVP, Carly Bogue from the Mandurah Magic, and Kyle Zunick from the Warwick Senators and the Perth Wildcats. What a lineup.
They're all in action on the weekend and coming up again this weekend. And, you know, there's some big, big names amongst that league MVPs, some all-stars in there. You know, as you said, some Wildcats, a Lynx contracted player. And, yeah, look, and it's certainly some fascinating chats ahead. And, you know, Carly Bogue, bit of sibling rivalry coming up in her matchup this coming weekend.
We'll certainly ask her about that. And I've got to be honest, we've never had four guests before, but I've been stalking Devondrick Walker online for a while to try and see if he'd like to come on the show for an interview. I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get in contact with him, so I booked out the whole schedule, and now he's come through and we've ended up with four. So let's roll with it. Let's do our worst.
Why not? It's the nearing the end of the season, the show at the moment. Why not get as many guests on as we can? Get as many voices through the NBL One West Radio show.
Well, shall we start with the men? There was a couple of elimination finals, of course. We saw the Perry Lakes Hawks go down to the Senators, and the Goldfield Giants in probably one of the most exciting games of that round, getting up over the Mandurah Magic.
Yeah, certainly the tightest result in the men's side of the division, and Gurgis Dow 26 points, you know, playing a huge part in that win for the Giants. And you know, Mandurah will you know, ultimately the season ends in disappointment for them, not progressing past the first week of the finals. But the Giants, yeah, they looked a lot better on the weekend than they did the week before against the Redbacks, when, you know, maybe there wasn't a lot to play for that particular day. And, you know, it was the final day of the season, a bit of I guess the air was being let out of the balloon then. But, you know, they bounce back, have a really good win at home, and they get to go on the road and one step closer to a potential grand final appearance.
Well, the qualifying finals that, of course, had the reward of going straight through to a preliminary final and skipping that semi-final round saw the Buccaneers serve the Coburn Cougars up there in Geraldton, and the Rockingham Flames got up over the Joondalup Wolves.
Yeah, two teams, you know, they've been the top two throughout the season. They haven't really sort of moved away from those spots, Geraldton and Rockingham, and the Buccaneers showed how strong they are. You know, they're complete all over the court strength, and, you know, I guess I continue not to underestimate them, but, you know, continue to maybe not talk about them as much because I haven't seen them as much this season as other teams live. And look, that's a powerful performance. You know, Cameron Coleman, 39 points, 10 rebounds, just a ridiculous performance from the Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, gets his team not just across the line, but blows the opponent away and sends a statement to the rest of the competition. And Rockingham, they were challenged in that game, Rockingham, by Joondalup. And no doubt we'll touch on it later on with Devondrick Walker. But they were challenged through the first half, down by 10 at halftime, come out big third quarter, get themselves the lead, and they never look back from there. And that's a big win at home. You know, big difference between having to play a Thursday night semi-final versus a Saturday night preliminary final, where you get to sit back and watch your opponents, your potential opponents, play against each other and duke it out. So, yeah, look, huge win for Rockingham. That probably the disappointment of the weekend is the Perry Lakes Hawks in the men's. You know, defending champions go out with a bit of a whimper in the end, unfortunately. You know, they had a really up and down season, and I guess a game like that was kind of on brand for them, but they just really couldn't get anything going offensively. Threw the ball away way too often. Warwick were very good on the defensive end, and every time they turned the ball over, Warwick were making them pay, and that's a huge win for the Senators and sets up a tantalising semi-final matchup.
Well, taking a look at the women's side now, we spoke of the Hawks. They also got knocked out in the women's, this time by the Coburn Cougars. A little undersized, the Hawks, and got done by the might of Jesse Edwards. And the Lakeside Lightning also going down to the Rockingham Flames in that second elimination final, also out for season 2022.
Yeah, Jesse Edwards just absolutely dominated that game against the Hawks, and you're right, if there's a weakness to be had for Perry Lakes through this season, it has been their size inside. And Jesse Edwards just goes ahead and pulls down 24 rebounds on the night. Just an outstanding performance from her. 23 points, 24 rebounds. So influential in a 10-point win over the Hawks. Yeah, Rockingham, I'd refer to them. We've talked about them on the show throughout the year, and I think they're the best team that I've seen that has had a six-game losing streak in season, because it blows me away that they were able to lose six games in a row this year. And you know, they lose Taylor Ortler, but they still have the offensive threat of Merrin Cracker. Patricia Brossman steps up with 27 points and 12 rebounds in that game to sneak them across the line against a Lakeside team that was in excellent form and had, you know, big presence themselves. Ruth Hamblin hits 27 points. Ash Eigersenbarger, 16-15, double-double. They were both very, very good. The Stars showed up for Lakeside, but Rockingham, just one possession too good, and they see themselves through to a semi-final.
The qualifying finals in the women went according to seedings, with the Joondalup Wolves getting up over the Mandurah Magic 2-3, and the Senators taking care of the Tigers in that 1-4 matchup against the defending champs in the women's.
Yeah, a bit of a tale of two halves for Joondalup in their game. They were really challenged by Mandurah in the first half, stuck with it, and then created a bit of a gap. Tej Morrell, her last fortnight has been phenomenal. 42 points last week, 35 on the weekend just gone, to go with 12 rebounds. And don't underestimate how good Nashea Parker-Williams was early in that game. Really influential. 10 points in the first quarter on her way to a 20-point, 16-rebound game. Like, for a 20-year-old, it's ridiculous what she's been able to do in this competition. You know, she's just such an outstanding talent. And they get the win that they feel, based on an 18-win season, they deserve, and they get a home preliminary final, as do the Senators. You know, probably a bit tighter than we imagined it would be. That's the fight that you get from the Willerton Tigers. They were never going to just go down without a fight, and they certainly took it right up to Warwick. It was only, you know, in the last sort of 6 or 7 minutes of that game where Warwick put some separation in the scoreline. It looked like Willerton could cause a boil over for a long period of that game, and it was Leonie Fibic that was the difference. 30 points, 14 rebounds, just an outstanding game from her, and it's the strength that they have. You know, Stacey Barr came off the bench and still had a big influence on that game, but, you know, was having a visibly frustrated night. She's been away and not training last week. She was away with the state school sports team, and you know, but then Leonie Fibic is able to step up and hit 30, and that's the strength that the Warwick Senators have. It's not one, it's going to be another, and even a team as strong as Willerton, who were without Sam Lubke in that game, couldn't quite withstand it. And look, that's something that Willerton isn't going down with a whimper. You know, they were very good in that game. It's just that Warwick were a touch better, and I think Willerton still carry a fair bit into this weekend.
You've got to laugh at the opportunity of being able to bring the league MVP off the bench. Even if she was away during the week, that's a nice advantage to have.
Absolutely.
Really.
And I mean, you talk about off the bench, and you have a look at that game, though. I'm pretty sure it was only the first 90 seconds or so that she was off the bench.
Fair enough.
And she ended up playing 37 minutes or so,
okay,
I think, in the
game.
So we
use the term off the bench lightly.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were looking at the stat sheet in that game. I was on the call for Sport FM. Maiden voyage, by the way, for Sport FM NBL 1 West radio coverage. So if you can't get to a TV to watch the stream, there's always a game or two on in the finals this year on 91.3 Sport FM. But We were laughing in the commentary box going, oh, we feel like the depth of the Willetton Tigers has really, contributed a lot more. And then we get the stat sheet and it says bench points. And Warwick are way ahead on bench points. And we're thinking, what's this all about? Yes, yeah, because Stacey Barr hit 25 points off the bench in 37 minutes and 21 seconds of court time. So, yeah, it was a very handy player to have on the pine.
It makes sense. Well, throughout the next hour, we'll, of course, be previewing the upcoming games for this weekend. And we'll still be speaking with Robbie Ryan from the Joondalup Wolves after this on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you. And we're joined on the line now from one of the superstars from the Joondalup Wolves, soon to be a Perth Lynx player as well, Robbie Ryan. Welcome along to the NBL One West Radio Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for joining us on the show. Well, you've certainly made an impression since you hit the West Australian shores. The Joondalup Wolves were flying high at the towards the top of the ladder there, and you had a great win on the weekend. Congratulations for all of your efforts so far.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great win, a great team win last weekend.
Well, thinking about you personally first, I suppose, you've been struggling with injury for that last few weeks of the season there. Talk us through, because you did play a few minutes on the weekend, but obviously it didn't look like you were back to your full self.
Well, first of all, I was just so happy to be back out there with my teammates. I think one thing you can tell from our team is we have a lot of fun out there playing with each other. So just to be around everybody and be able to compete with them was brought me a lot of joy. Sitting out is obviously not ideal for any athlete. So being out, it's been tough, but my rehab and my injury's been progressing, so I feel pretty good.
So your expectation for this weekend, if you're sort of giving us a percentage of health, what are you hoping to be back to? Because you certainly didn't look 100% on the weekend. Jordan was on the call. He said you hit your first shot, but you were limited in minutes sort of after that time.
Yeah, that was my first first game back, first kind of full go. So definitely restricted minutes, but it pulled up great. So I'm just excited to keep progressing and take it a day at a time.
Robbie, you talked about the squad liking to have a lot of fun and that the Joondalup is a really fun team to be around. Obviously, when you win 18 out of 20 in a season, it does make it a bit easier to keep having the fun. But who brings the energy? Like, when things are down, who brings the energy to sort of bring everyone back up, and to continue having that fun?
I think there's a few people that contribute, but I'd say probably with their effort and also vocally, Tia and Tej, both bring a lot of energy, and just some also veteran leadership from Shawnee. I think everybody does a great job of keeping us together and giving each other energy.
You talk about Tej Morrell in there. Her last couple of weeks has been phenomenal. 42 points, then 35 over the last 2 weeks, and a huge game from her on the weekend. But Nashaya Parker-Williams' first quarter on the weekend, a red hot start to the game. You got to see a bit of it from the bench, and then you came on to be a part of it yourself. It really, really set up the win. Can you talk about Nashaya and how she's been and how her progression has been this year?
Oh yes, Nashaya, she's great. When she flips it on, she's on. She's a competitor and so athletic, so talented, and just a fun player to play with. You kind of just can give her the ball and kind of watch her go, and I love all the rebounds she gets. She's very genetically gifted in the tall and lengthy area. Some of us are not. So it's great to be able to just sit back and watch her do her thing. I'm definitely proud of her.
And Tej as well. Rough patch is probably a little bit too harsh to say, but wasn't quite as productive through, a middle part of the season where she started off really well and then production dipped a touch, but her last fortnight has been phenomenal, really. What's the change been in her? Has it just been that she's a big game performer at the right time of year?
Yeah, Tay's definitely has dominated the past couple of weeks, she can do that in any game, any time. I think that's what's great about our team is there's more than one person that can step up and kind of take control of the game, and Tej is definitely capable of doing that any and every game, but she definitely has shown that in the past 2 weeks. And I think that just goes to show how hard of a competitor she is and just what talent she can bring to the table.
Marcus Wong was given Coach of the Year for the NBL One West, and on the weekend, first half was vastly different to the second on your defensive end. Like, Casey Milo was getting a lot of great looks in the first half, knocked down four threes and looked like she was going to be a difference maker in the game, and then she was shut completely out of it in the second half. Was there a conscious change that he made in game there, and what's he been like to work under as a player?
Well, first of all, Marcus is such a great coach, and we all really enjoyed playing under him. He values culture, and I think every one of us can see that, and I think that has contributed to our success and also just how much everybody enjoys being at training and being at the games. So he's definitely cultivated that for us. And also, he's just a very smart coach, and obviously he won Coach of the Year, and I think very, very deserving of it. Don't tell him I told you that.
No, this show doesn't go out to anyone. No one listens, Robbie. It's okay.
That's good. But he's a great coach. He definitely prepared us well. We went in there with the game plan, stuck to it, and obviously made minor adjustments within the game. But, he draws up a great game plan every game, and we trust him, and he trusts us to execute what he gives us. So,
thinking about yourself personally again, Robbie, obviously you've turned some heads since your arrival in Western Australia, and that's resulted in the signing with the Perth Lynx for the upcoming season. What's the nuts and bolts about how that opportunity actually comes around? Who do you get a call from? Who are the discussions with? And how did it all come about?
I have an agent, and eventually got coffee with Ryan and had a discussion, and it kind of just went from there. I've just been lucky enough to have the opportunity to play for the Lynx, and I'm very excited.
So I guess it's fair to say, and what I was hoping you're almost going to set the table for, is Ryan Petrick's involvement and connection with the NBL One West has potentially been in your favour because he's under your eyes right here in WA.
Oh, yeah, on the men's side,
Well, he's obviously looking across the league, and in fact, we were texting him a bit earlier on because they've got training and practice down there tonight, and Devondrick Walker is heading down there, and we'll be chatting with him a little bit later on. So we wanted to tell Coach Petrick that Devondrick may be arriving a little bit later than expected because we were going to be holding him up. But I think that I just think that's a real benefit of having coaches like Ryan, who are really high caliber coaches at the WNBL level, also involved with the NBL One West as well.
Yeah, it's been great. I think the whole league is great, both men's and women's. There's a lot of talent and great coaches and great players.
So what we've learned from this so far, Brett, that we've gleaned from Robbie, is that every time Rockingham Flames are on the calendar for women's players, they have that circled big red marker around the date where the Rockingham Flames are coming to your building, because you know Ryan Petrick will be in town with the
scouts are out. Scouts are out.
Absolutely. You obviously played a little bit in college as well, Robbie, and have played around the world a bit. How does the NBL One West stack up against the competition that you've played in throughout your career?
It's good. There's a lot of talented players in this league. Good coaches, good systems, great clubs and organizations. So yeah, it's definitely been a good experience for me here, and it's been competitive, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
Well, you certainly can't complain. It sounds like a pretty good outcome so far with that Perth Lynx signing. You've got further finals this weekend, and obviously with the hope to get through to that grand final the following weekend. So we wish you all the best in all of those endeavours, and thanks once again, Robbie Ryan, for coming on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Robbie Ryan there, star at the Joondalup Wolves, and we'll be back to speak with Devondrick Walker on the other side of this on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, Brett and Jordan with you on the NBL One West Radio Show. And as promised, we've been stalking him online for the last few weeks to make sure we could bring you the league MVP, a star down there at the Rockingham Flames, Devondrick Walker. Welcome along to the NBL One West Radio Show.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here, guys.
Well, we certainly put in the hard yards and the dedication to get you here. How has it been? Your first season in the NBL One West, but of course, you're not unfamiliar with Western Australia either, and our good weather, in fact.
Yeah. No, it's been great, man. more than I could have imagined when I got on the plane. So definitely happy with what's occurred so far.
Look, you have played all over the globe and up to that NBL level, of course. So obviously people had some high expectations of you coming into the season. But to top it off with that MVP and your team travelling deep and strongly into the finals, 2022 was obviously a pretty successful year for you.
Yeah, you know, but when you come in, you make these goals and you just kind of take them day by day and see if you can chop them off. There's been a couple that I've kicked off and I'm trying to, you know, obviously finish with the latest one.
After getting the MVP award, Devondrick, have you been hitting Media Street over the last week, or has your phone been pretty quiet and you've just been able to sort of, you know, get to training and get to work? What's the last 7 days been like?
This is actually one of my first, you know, individual awards. So I guess it is what I expected it to be, you know, kind of, if that kind of answers your question. Like, I didn't know what to expect, but... You know, it's been generous. People reaching out, saying some quality things about me. So that's always nice to hear that.
We certainly earned it, given your body of work this year. We'll chat about how the team's going now. Tough first half against Joondalup on the weekend, but you pulled it out of the fire and got the job done at home and booked yourself a home preliminary final. What was it that Ryan Petrick said at halftime that changed what you were doing that created a complete swing in that game?
It was basically what he told us before the game. You know, we didn't answer the call. They came out ready to play. They came out like it was a final, and we came out like it was a regular season game. You know, it's a long game. But basically kind of told us at halftime what he told us before the game. Like, they coming out to play. They ready to play. Like, are we ready to play now? You know, so it was kind of simple, kind of cliche, but lucky we got that one done.
You got a couple of veteran presences in the Flames lineup, but, you know, guys who not only have played a lot of NBL 1 games, but a lot of NBL games in Tom Jervis and Greg Heyer coming off the bench, who's been all over the world throughout this year. What's it been like playing with really experienced guys like that who've won championships at the highest level in Australia, and what have they imparted on the team this year?
Selflessness. Just kind of putting that upon everybody. Like, I mean, when you see those guys play, it's just a matter of seeing the things that they do to win. You know, it's not about themselves. And we kind of got a lot of young guys as well, so it's a good mix. And they do a great job leading us throughout it with just that mentality of do what you got to do to win the game. So,
Marty Nelson was obviously a huge part of your lineup for such a significant portion of this year. He's been away the past month or so, and you guys haven't had his services. How have you made the adjustment to losing someone who was such a key part of your team, and you seem to have taken it all in stride and still be winning games? How has that adustment been made?
Just hats off to my coach of the year, Ryan. Made this, I wouldn't say simple, but basically putting the ball in Tom Jervis's hand, you know, opening the floor a little bit, and then the offense. He basically changed the entire playbook. And to do that in the middle of the season with the guys we have, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of applause from everybody around to kind of make that adjustment, because Marshall was such a big part of our focus on both ends. So Ryan just did a fantastic job of kind of tweaking some pieces, making some things happen. And we like you mentioned, we kind of went into that stride. So just hats off to Ryan, and hats off to the guys for buying in and what he's said.
Talk about Ryan Petrick, and I've mentioned on the show before, I think when we did our awards preview, that I thought Ryan Petrick was Coach of the Year, because you seem to have an offense that can run so differently. You know, you can get many different looks and many different ways to run offense, even in game. Is that something that, you know, you guys will be at training and you'll be practicing different sort of offensive setups and that sort of thing, and you just run and a lot of repetition of those? Or does Ryan give you a bit of freedom to express yourselves on the court?
You know, he gives us the foundation, but he realized that he has a lot of experienced guys, and he kind of let us play just offensively. He puts us in positions, puts us in, you know, spots to be successful, and then he kind of gives us the freedom to make our own reads from there. And obviously, it opens up our confidence to know that he got our back. But you didn't even mention the defensive part of his coaching genius to me. If you go throughout the course of the year, those tough games that we had won, or the battles that were tough, or we were down, or in certain moments, his defensive adjustments is what won us the game. Like, just like this weekend, made a huge defensive adjustment. I'll let you be the judge of what he did. I won't give out his secrets, but huge defensive adjustment that, you know, ultimately won us the game. So, not just his offense. You know, he sees the game on both sides, and it's been a pleasure playing for him because I understand exactly what he's doing and what he sees.
The question I want to ask you may be the elephant in the room somewhat, and you may or may not even know the answer to this one, but Jordan touched on Marshall Nelson and his current absence. Obviously, with the expectation that you're hoping to go deep and be playing in that grand final, is there any thought that Marshall may in fact be back for that game?
You know me, I'm praying for it, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything, you know what I mean? I'm out of the loop on that situation. You know, I'm just, like I said, praying that he's back with us, but also hoping for the best out there in Belgium. So just kind of a little bit of both bittersweet for me personally, but either way, you know, I'm happy and proud of him.
Well, he's a nice weapon to have either way, even if you've made some adjustments without him. He's certainly a handy
1,000%.
Person to bring in for a grand final, so to speak, anyway.
Yeah, for sure. You know, teams got to scout for him. And the more you got to scout for him, you know, the more it opens up for other guys. So he's definitely somebody we need.
We understand, interestingly, you've also been training with Wildcats in recent times. You've obviously still got a bit of an eye on that NBL one, that NBL level as well.
Yeah, of course. You know, you play it and you love it. And, of course, I'm in the area, so why not get some of the best training, you know, in the state?
Definitely. And there's,
you know what I mean?
Do you see opportunities there? I mean, there's still talk of Bryce Cotton possibly getting his citizenship at some point, or maybe clubs in other states as well who may be interested in a sharp shooter from out west.
Yeah, you know, I would sure like to think so, because I know I can play at that level. You know, I belong there. But, you know, it all comes with timing, opportunity, situation. So you just, you know, just stay ready, stay positive, stay confident in who you are and what you do, and those things will come.
Well, Devondrick, we thank you so much for your time, and we wish you and the team all the best for whoever you may be facing eventually on the weekend when you find out your eventual opponent there, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man. Hopefully we can bring it home to Rocco.
Appreciate your time. Devondrick Walker there, the league MVP and star at the Rockingham Flames here in the NBL One West.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk bill Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West radio show, welcome back, Jordan and Brett with you as we look towards the weekend. Well, the action actually starts Thursday, to be fair, doesn't it? So it's an exciting round with those semi-final and preliminary final action.
Yeah, four-day weekend as far as the NBL One West is concerned. Yeah, two games Thursday night, one Friday, three Saturday, one Sunday. It's going to be fun 4 days of action.
Well, let's maybe focus on the women first this time around. So that knockout semi-final with the goodies to go into the preliminary final, the Magic face the Rockingham Flames. We'll be speaking to Carly Bogue about this one a little bit later on. But your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge one. And look, I've already said in the show, the Rockingham Flames are the best team to have a six-game losing streak. Their quality of squad defies their position. I know they've lost Taylor Ortlip to the AFLW for this part of the season, and it's unfortunate for them. She's a big offensive threat for them. But, you know, Meryn Cracker has stepped into that void. Paddy Brossman stepped into that void as well. And they've still got the defensive presence of Chris Bogue, who's going to be butting heads with her sister Carly, obviously. And they're both such big defensive presences for their teams. But, you know, Mandra, they were competitive for long periods against Joondalup, and they've got improvement in that result as well. You know, like Casey Miley was shut out of the game in the second half. Sarah Tyena stepped up and was great. 16 points, 10 rebounds. Really solid performance from her. Hannah Little, 15 rebounds, 3 points, all from the free throw line. Didn't hit a single one from the field. So, you know, she'll hit those shots in this upcoming game. There's no doubt that she'll take the same number of shots, same volume. She went 0 for 12 from the field. She would probably expect to hit at least 4 or 5 of those from the field to go at, you know, an okay, you know, average sort of clip. You know, so there's improvement there to come from that. You know, Casey Milo might find herself a bit more, you know, have some more open shots. And I feel like they have more offensive threats, Mandra, than Rockingham. You know, if if they can put the clamps on Patricia Brosman inside, which will be where Chris Bogue goes, no doubt, on the weekend, if they can put the clamps down on her and stop that inside-outside play that they can do, you know, that might neutralise Merrin Cracker a bit, and then that's a lot of their offensive threat nullified. So I feel like there's just less that Mandra need to do defensively to nullify Rockingham than Rockingham would need to do to stop Mandra. So I think Mandra at home, rightfully given that they finished in third position, would go in as favourites in this one.
Well, certainly the other matchup is a delicious one. It tees the fourth-placed Willetton Tigers against the fifth-placed Coburn Cougars. So could be quite a matchup there. The Cougars in some good form.
Yeah, absolutely. And a tale of two sides that are very different, you know, in the way that they play. Coburn, a lot of perimeter threat. Jewel Williams is a great distributor, great shooter. Alina Hartman, great shooter. Kat Tudor, great shooter. And then they've got the big on the inside in Jesse Edwards. You know, that they do play that. She can play high post. They might play her in the low post off the elbow. They play that player in. She can either roll off the defender and go to the basket herself, or back off the defender and then kick the ball out to one of those three threats that they have on the outside. So they're a very different team to the Willetton Tigers, who don't have a huge center inside. Like Sam Lubke is good defensively, and I feel like she'll be the matchup if she's back in the lineup. She'll be the matchup against Jesse Edwards in this game, and she defended her effectively last time I saw these two teams play each other at Wally Hagen. She defended her really well, and when she was off the court and Taylor Hepburn was forced to defend Jesse Edwards, they were a very different team, the Coburn Cougars. So that's going to be a key matchup. Alex Sharp on offense didn't have, you know, her signature run that she does, where she'll collect the ball at the three-point line, work around the screen, and then take it to the basket. Didn't have that a lot on the weekend against Warwick. They defended that really well. Interesting to see whether she gets it back against the Coburn Cougars and the way they defend differently. Because as I said, the offense runs differently, the defense runs differently for both of these two sides. They're contrasting styles. It's going to be really interesting. I think this is going to be a real basketball nerds game as much as anything. Like a nuts and bolts, let's see how these two teams that are just so fundamentally different in the way that they set up. Let's see how they go when they play up against each other. And it should be a fascinating battle. I think Willetton do take this one at home, but certainly Coburn are going to be right snapping at their heels the whole way.
Well, lying in wait for the winner of those two semi-finals on Saturday night will be the 2-18-2 teams on season 2022. The Wolves will be waiting up at HBF Arena. The Senators will be waiting at Warwick Stadium for their opponent. But in reality, whoever wins those semi-finals teams, can either of them actually get up over these teams in the preliminary final?
That was probably the next point I was going to make, is that those four teams that we just spoke about, I feel like they're playing for third. Because Warwick and Joondalup, based on what I've seen throughout the year and in the run into the finals in that first week, you know, anything can happen in a one and done sort of scenario where it's do or die. But I feel like everyone is playing for third position. I think that the best two teams all year are going to be the two teams we see in the grand final. It'll be at Bendat on Friday week, Warwick versus Joondalup in the women's, I feel like, which, you know, seems like the easy call to make, but sometimes the easy call is the correct call. And that, there's a reason it's the easy call, because they are the two best and most complete teams throughout this division, and they'll be playing, I think, in the grand final.
Look, I do agree with you, and on the old three-game series, you would 100% back that in, that you gave yourself that slight wiggle room, which I agree with, in that one-game type of scenario, that the Tigers, for example, come out and hit every shot, and suddenly you may have a surprise result, but
yeah, someone gets in foul trouble, something like that, you know, there's a bit of an unknown variable that gets thrown in there, you go, okay, you got to compensate for that, but yeah, three-game series, I'd have no doubt that, you know, maybe we shouldn't even bother playing the semifinals. That sort of the level of doubt that I have. And, you know, I'm 99% on those two, you know, barring anything extraordinary, that it'll be Warwick versus Joondalup.
Well, we're not probably going to make any friends outside of the Wolves and Senators with that call, but their record kind of speaks to that, and we'll be... Let's see what we're chatting about next week when we get back in this seat next time around. But let's turn our eyes now to the men's. The semi-finals sees the Coburn Cougars face up against the Warwick Senators on the Thursday. Then there's Friday night action, sort of to accommodate the Goldfield Giants coming down from the Goldfields, of course. They face up against the Wolves as well.
Yeah, two fascinating matchups there, and I feel like these are much tighter matchups than than some of the women's ones in this. Warwick Coburn is going to be a barn burner. We'll touch on it with Kyle Zernick, no doubt, that Warwick have regained Brian Michaels, who's so key to their offensive end, has started to do some really nice work defensively. You know, they put up 93 points on the weekend and just absolutely picked the Perry Lakes Hawks to pieces in that game. You know, 30 31, 32 points the difference at the end flattered the Perry Lakes Hawks in that game. I felt Warwick were far and away the better team. They kept Perry Lakes to 37 points at three-quarter time. And, you know, a lot of the 24 points they got in the last quarter were late in the last quarter when, you know, the shackles had well and truly been released by Warwick at that point. And they just dismantled a reigning champion team to the point where they are unrecognisable. So that's what they can do. And they did all of that. Majuk had little to no influence on the game. You know, he's probably one of their biggest names in that lineup. I know Caleb Davis is an all-star five player. I know Kyle Zunick is a Perth Wildcat, but Majuk's probably overall their biggest name in that lineup. He had little to no impact on that game. So that if they get that improvement for this week, Coburn are going to have a tough time, but Warwick are going to have to defend the perimeter really hard because that's where Coburn's biggest threat comes from.
Well, let's be fair. If we see the Coburn that we saw against the Geraldton Buccaneers, they could certainly do a Perry Lakes Hawks if they're not careful against the Senators. So we certainly need that extra scoring punch from the likes of your Fields and your Skaggs and some contribution across the board as well.
Yeah, and I guess that's where when you're relying on three-point shooters to do the bulk of your scoring, they are a high-scoring team, you know, right up there, highest in the league, the Coburn Cougars. They give up a lot on the defensive end, but they also get a lot on their offensive end. But that's where it can break down, is if the three-point hands aren't going, you know, and they're not creating that scoreboard pressure early. You know, if you miss the first couple and all of a sudden, you know, you're giving a two up at the other end on every one of those possessions, you know, the pressure can compound and, you know, those games can spiral out of control really quickly. Saw it on the weekend, you know, 30-13 at quarter time and Geraldton led by 21 at halftime and then just kept on pressing throughout the game. You know, it makes it really tough for them to come back. So, you know, it's such a volatile way to play and such a volatile thing to rely on. When it comes off, spectacular. And, you know, you can really bury teams really, really quickly. And that's what Coburn will be wanting to do. They'll be at their home court. They'll be wanting to get the crowd into it early, make sure they're hitting those threes. Carter Skaggs, Gavin Field in particular, get those early three balls off, get a couple to drop, get the crowd involved, put the pressure on the Warwick Senators and see what they can bring.
The only Friday night fixture across the whole league is up there at HBF Arena. The Joondalup Wolves will host the plucky Goldfield Giants.
Yeah, and that's going to be a really fun matchup. Like the Giants are coming off a really stirring win. You know, when you have a one possession win in an elimination game, that's a stirring victory. They'll come to Perth. They'll be riding that wave of feeling really good about what they're doing. And you know, Joondalup had themselves in a winning position on the road in a qualifying final, and you know, and third quarter let them down and they couldn't close it out from there. They have the quality though to get this job done, the Joondalup Wolves. So if CJ Turnage isn't firing, then you turn to Julian Passava. Okay, Julian Passava's not firing, then you turn to Jonathan Wade. Jonathan Wade's not, and you can keep going on and on down the list from there. They just have a lot of quality offensively, and then they can get the job done on the defensive end as well. You know, they've got bigs in the middle, they've got presence on the outside, you know, they're a very good side, Joondalup. That's why they finished in third position. Tough road trip for Goldfields. I feel like Joondalup get the job done.
Well, somewhat similar to the girls, the top two seeds are lying in wait with a preliminary final, the Rockingham Flames on Saturday night. The Geraldton Buccaneers will be Sunday afternoon for whoever ends up travelling up to there. Again, much like the girls, do you see any of the teams performing in the semi-finals who can knock these guys off? Or is that the most likely outcome for our grand final, a Flames-Bucks grand final?
Well, I feel like Geraldton's a lock. Like I can't see anyone going up to Active West Stadium on the second half of a back-to-back weekend. I mean, I can't see either Joondalup or Goldfields going up to Geraldton and knocking off the Bucks. I feel like that is almost, you know, sign it, stamp it in now. The Geraldton Buccaneers will be one of the two teams playing in the men's grand final. As far as the other one's concerned, you know, there's just a possibility with the Rockingham Flames that, you know, maybe if a Warwick sneaks in that, you know, that Majuk can nullify Tom Jervis, or, you know, he can combine with Caleb Davis to nullify Tom Jervis. You know, things like that, you know, there's just enough there for Warwick, or, you know, Coburn, you know, maybe they can get their shooting game going. And as we know, they're a high octane. They can knock off anybody. I feel like it's more likely that Rockingham make it through. They're just such a solid lineup. And they just have such great continuous contributions from Devondrick Walker and Tom Jervis, especially on that front end, and Tom Jervis at the back. But, you know, and they're so solid defensively. So I'd probably, if there is one game where an upset could happen, it would be that one. But I'd still, you know, it sounds like, again, the easy route to take, but I feel like the preliminary finalists are already there, most likely to progress their way through. And I guess the other intangible factor that you look at is that Rockingham will be hungry. They were the vanquished grand finalists last year, you know, and they've seen the team that they were beaten by in that grand final already get eliminated. You know, that will be a carrot for them. They'll be going, right, this is where we go one step better than we did last year. We need to make sure we get there, and then we're a better than even chance. Geraldton will have to be on the road if the Bucks win that one, assuming it's Geraldton, coming down to play at Bendat Basketball Centre, neutral environment. You know, how will they handle that? Rockingham have been there before. You know, that will just give them that little bit extra this weekend. You know, without them thinking too far ahead, they know that, all right, we're one game away from a chance at redemption.
Although it does feel like we're playing it safe a bit by picking the top two seeds in the men's and the women's, that's how this top eight format has been designed. It's heavily weighted towards rewarding people who finished in the top four, who can win their first game and then be the second game in that back-to-back weekend that you spoke about.
Yeah, exactly right. And look, they've tried to mitigate that a little bit by having the one-day break between your semi and your preliminary finals this year rather than having it on back-to-back days. Obviously, that may help a little bit, even things out. That said, Rockingham Flames beat Lakeside on the second half of back-to-back last year to make the grand final. So, you know, it's not always the case.
An upset that, can happen.
Yeah, upsets can happen. And, you know, these anomalies do get thrown in. But I feel like Geraldton are definitely a step above, a class above. And Rockingham are pretty close, even without Marty Nelson, which is the fact they are pretty close to that too. And we're not sure of his situation when he's coming back. If he does come back to the squad this weekend and play, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's Rockingham, Geraldton, and put your glasses down. There's no problem there. But, you know, having that one extra guy out, I guess we just wait and see.
You can check out all of those details of the upcoming fixtures over at mbl1.com.au. Of course, you'll be able to check out the live streams on the website as well, or get around to your local association. Before the hour is out, we'll still speak with Kyle Zunick from the Warwick Senators. And after the break, Carly Bogue will join us to talk about her matchup between the Mandurah Magic and her sister over at the Rockingham Flames.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. As promised, we're now on the line with Carly Bogue from the Mandurah Magic. She's been averaging a double-double in season 2022. Welcome along, Carly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I felt a little bit tough done by for the Mandurah Magic. I spoke in last week's show. You battled hard all season. You got into third position, and your consolation prize for that was to play the second place Wolves, who had only actually lost two games in the season. And it was a really tough game on the weekend, and you guys can certainly hold your heads high.
Yeah, it was unfortunate we didn't get that win. It would have been nice, because then we probably would have had a home game this weekend, but they're a tough team, so, you know, they're second for a reason. They're just a solid squad, so we've got to lock in and be ready for Flames on Thursday, so big game.
And even though, you know, we talk about a bit of a raw deal having to play the Wolves, because you did battle so hard and get into that third position, of course you've got that double chance, and as you mentioned, you've now got the follow-up game coming up.
Yeah, finals is different. I mean, we played Wolves 2 weeks ago and beat them by a fair bit, and then, you know, we play them again and then lose, so it's anyone's game. And then now we've got Flames Thursday, who are another solid squad. They probably didn't have the best of their best season, but they're a very good squad, so like I said, it's finals, so got to be ready.
You mentioned facing up against the Rockingham Flames in your next final, and of course that brings you into sibling rivalry territory. You'll be matching up against your sister in that one, of course.
Yes, and as much as people love watching us play, sometimes we start bickering and get into it, but at the end of the day, I kind of hate playing against her. I'd rather her on my team. I think we're so similar. We kind of butt heads even when we're playing against each other, just because we want the best for each other. But at the end of the day, I want to win, so going to do what I have to do.
I can imagine it's going to be a fun one on Thursday. Does the fact that it's a Thursday night final, Carly, change up what you're doing this week as far as preparation goes? Is there one fewer training nights? Are you training earlier in the week? How's that ended up structuring up for you?
Yeah, I guess you just kind of lose the training, whereas I think Flames train Monday, Wednesday, so they get two full trainings. But I think, you know, even if we had a Friday night game, the Thursday's a bit lighter anyway. But I think we've had a squad that's been together for, you know, bit longer than most other squads, so I guess we just trust each other, and we've had, you know, coaching, we've got some good scouts, and just got to be ready, play well at home.
Take you back to the weekend just gone and the qualifying final against Joondalup, Carly. And I guess it's tough to look at positive sometimes out of a loss when you know you had your chances to win. Was there any particular area that you've isolated where you think that, you know, your game was good enough, but if things had gone your way, it could have gone differently? Because I look straight up at something like Hannah Little not hitting a shot from the field at all, and think that's something that's probably never going to happen again.
Yeah, it was unlucky. It's always hard playing up there in front of their crowd, and they're a good squad. But yeah, shooting, I think we rebounded offensively really well. We just couldn't convert, unfortunately. We've got some good shooters as well, and it just wasn't our night. So I think if we'd made at least half those shots, could have been the other way. But now that that's done, we've just got to hope, it's our night on Thursday and play whoever on Saturday.
Casey Marlowe again had a huge influence throughout the first half of that game on Saturday. Are the players in the squad just in awe watching her at training and in games, that she can keep continually doing this year on year, 500 plus games into a career?
Absolutely, I'm still in awe. I don't know how she does it. She's something different. But she does work hard still, and she takes care of everybody really well. I definitely look up to her, and I absolutely love that I get to play with her, every season. And she's probably one of the best players I've ever played with, teammates, leader, everything. So to have that, and especially have young girls coming through the ranks, and having her at trainings every week, and learning and trying to get better, you couldn't ask for anyone else to have around, honestly, as a mentor or just as a teammate. But she does her thing still, and I'm definitely one of her supporters.
I want to get a look into your mindset a little bit, Carly, because on the weekend, yourself and Alex Wittinger found yourself in foul trouble throughout that game, which limited, I guess, your minutes. And, there's some frustration, obviously, that goes along with that as a player. How do you park that now and sort of put that to the side and think of the game that's coming up as different, and let what happened in the last game not affect your upcoming game and the way you play, especially on the defensive end?
You said yourself, it's very frustrating, especially when you get 3 or 4 fouls. You got to play smart and not get fouls and hope refs kind of don't call fouls that you wouldn't necessarily call, But you just got to play smarter and keep your hands out and play clean and just hopefully convert on the other end so you don't have to call and get the foul. But like I said, we've got a strong squad, so even if I was to get foul trouble, Alex, you've got younger girls who can come in and fill in, and you don't have to worry too much. You just got to play smart.
I guess the delicious question to ask is, assuming that you can get through your next game, and then looking forward to that preliminary final, essentially getting through.
Yeah.
Do you dare look that farther ahead at this stage, or is it that old adage of one game at a time?
No, like Vlad says, you just worry about the next game. Doesn't matter who you're letting, two games, three games, it's whoever's next. So for us, it's Rockingham, and it'll be a tough matchup. And, got to play my sister, unfortunately. Thought I got away with that and not having to play her in the finals, but come to that. But, just focus on the next game. That's it. And then hopefully get the win and then move on from there.
Well, we wish you good luck for that unusual Thursday night fixture. Carly Bogue, star at the Mandurah Magic, good luck for that one.
Thank you so much.
Carly Bogue there on the NBL One West radio show. We'll be back the other side of this to speak to Kyle Zunick from the Warwick Senators.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show. Yeah, it's so good. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, and as promised, we're now on the line with Kyle Zunick. He's with the Warwick Senators. You may have also heard his name from the Perth Wildcats. He's moved from a DP into a fully contracted player for next season. Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, let's start off with the weekend just gone. A good win over the Perry Lakes Hawks. They finished eighth. They were the defending champ, and it was always a bit of a dicey one. You certainly had to come to play because the Hawks can be a little unpredictable.
Yeah, for sure. And it was awesome to see all the boys come together and play 40 minutes of basketball, which is what we've always preached. Playing 40 minutes of our style of basketball, we can keep teams to a low number in terms of the defensive end, and then the offensive end takes care of itself. But yeah, as you said, Perry Lakes, just a tough, gritty unit that obviously they did it last year, just playing hard, playing tough, and We just had to come in ready for the fight, and I thought that everyone down the line did. And, you know, our energy was just contagious, our bench energy, our everyone else on the court, like playing together. I thought it was just an unbelievable game for us and a step forward into in the right direction to our ultimate goal.
I'll ask you about the squad in a bit of a lighthearted way before I hand over to Jordan for the next query, but it's almost been a bit of a case of build the plane while you're flying this season, it's felt like, with injuries going down or Coach Brennan seems to keep adding pieces in. That's obviously been great for the talent level, but is it also a bit disruptive, and how do you accommodate that as you go with the various ins and outs?
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely a tough year in terms of, you know, injuries and us being out for the start of the season with Wildcats commitments and all that kind of stuff, and adding Juk obviously was a big thing for us. But we have a bunch of boys that are just really good people, and so that made it such an easy transition. When we lost guys, we just had next man up mentality when guys got injured. We also, you know, when guys were away or doing something other than basketball, like, you know, the guys that have already been there and that are there consistently, they just continue to accept whoever comes in. And I think that's the biggest part, is being so accepting. When I came in, I felt it straight away. I felt like I was a part of the Senators, and it was just an unbelievable experience to come in and feel that straight away from the boys that have been there already. The leadership from, you know, Cody, Corbin, Caleb, has just been unbelievable. Even since, you know, Cody's been out for a little while now, like, he's still at every practice. He's there, you know, talking to us, talking us through what we need to do. He knows what it's about, being here before. So it's really cool to see how much everyone comes together, even through all that mess. And this is a time where we've just got to come together as a unit and keep going and keep building every game.
You talked about the guys who are missing in Cody Ellis and Corbin Rose still, but one guy you've been able to get back just on the eve of the finals and had another impact on the weekend is Brian Michaels. He was so huge for you at the start of the year, and he's come back at the right time of year. How much of a difference does that make to you when you add a guy like Brian Michaels to your lineup?
Oh, it's a huge difference. He's an unbelievably talented player. He can go and get a bucket whenever you want it. That's the biggest thing for us, and it just creates a lot more space for us. You know, we're able to penetrate and kick, and, you know, we've got Brian, Caleb, all these guys coming in and just shooting the ball like they always have. And I think that's the biggest thing that Brian brought in. But I think as he's come back from the injury, he's really been locked in on the defensive end. Like, he really has taken a stand and saying, you know, I'm not just this player that, you know, goes and shoots all his shots. He's really, since he's come back, focused on that defensive end. And I think that's made us such a better team. All of our buy-in from each and every one of our players on the defensive end is what's going to ultimately win us a championship. And we took a step forward definitely on the weekend in that regard. So, you know, we just got to keep building when we get into practice this week, and then build towards that next game.
You made mention of Caleb Davis, and obviously he's been a solid player in this league for some time now, but this season getting the nod in the All-Star 5, I thought that was a really worthy notification for him. How's he been to play with this season?
Well, he's been unbelievable. The leadership that he brings, the voice, the toughness that he brings, I think, yeah, as you said, that was a very deserving place for him in that All-Star 5. I think he played so solid all year. He was definitely a backbone for us to always lean on. Even when he may be struggling a little bit or whatever, he doesn't lose confidence. And I think that's the biggest thing I respect. And, you know, when we're coming into film or, you know, talking in a huddle, like, it's always his voice. And it's always good to hear, because everything he says, I really admire, because, like, you know, he knows what it's about. He's been there before, as I said, with Cody and all these guys that have been there before. Like, listening to them is the biggest thing, because, I mean, they know what it's about. And so, Caleb's been unbelievable for us this year.
You've got a game Thursday night coming up against Coburn. They've got such offensive weapons from outside the perimeter. You only have to look at Carter Skaggs and Gavin Field, and then you can, you know, you look at Josh Hunt as well, who can shoot the three ball. How's the preparation going to be this week for you guys who have to defend out high? And is there some nerves in there knowing that there's a couple of guys in there who can really get going?
Yeah, I mean, they showed it last time we played them. They shot the ball very well, and I think that's something we definitely got to focus on. But obviously, they got some big guys inside as well, so I think it's just focusing on who we need to in terms of the scout, running guys off the three-point line that we need to, and then the guys that we can kind of give a little bit of a gap. I think that's the biggest thing as well. You know, people shoot the best when it goes inside out, so I think that's something we need to stop. But yeah, they're an unbelievable team, and I think we'll be ready for the challenge.
Could be a few closeout drills with Coach Brendan this week, you reckon, facing the Cougars?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to ask you, Kyle, a little bit about your national team duties a little bit earlier on in the year with those Asian Cup qualifiers. You got the Boomers call-up. That would have been quite an experience in itself.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable experience. Any time you get the chance to throw in the green and gold, it's pretty cool. And it was an exciting time. You know, obviously I was in the season with the Wildcats, but as soon as I got that call, it was really amazing. And I was so grateful for it, and going over there was unbelievable.
And given the makeup of that squad as well, there seemed to be a lot of confidence and faith shown in you too. You weren't over there making up the numbers. You had a real opportunity to play, and it was quite a mixture of young guys who were really getting a good run.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coming in, like, having Nick Kay there was probably the best thing for us, because he was an unbelievable leader, and he made us all feel so comfortable coming in and knowing what the Boomers culture is about. And it allowed us to just fit in perfectly, the younger guys, and just, you know, go out there and play with confidence and know that as long as we play with this grit and this culture that, you know, has been built over so many years, as long as we just do that, we'll be in the right stead to obviously get the wins that we needed, but just playing together as a group. It was such a good experience for sure.
Well, Kyle, we wish you all the best for your next matchup against the Coburn Cougars, and should you progress on from there into the weekend, we wish you all the best in everything Warwick Senators, and also for the upcoming Perth Wildcats season as well, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Kyle Zunick there from the Warwick Senators and the Perth Wildcats here on the NBL One West Radio Show. We'll be back on the other side of this to wrap things up.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Winding things up here on the NBL One West radio show, it was a jam-packed edition. Fantastic chats with Kyle Zunick, Carly Bogue, Devondrick Walker, and Robbie Ryan. We managed to jam all four in.
Yeah, we managed to fit them all in somehow. As you said, everyone responding to their phones today, which is great news for us and great news for our podcast listeners, because plenty of content.
Plenty of action coming up this weekend as well. It starts as early as Thursday night. We've got those semi-finals and we've got the preliminary finals. If you can't find a game to go and watch this weekend, there's something wrong.
Yeah, there's plenty to get around. And look, I'm lucky enough to be on a couple this weekend. I've got Thursday night at Coburn. I'll be able to go and watch Coburn and Warwick duke it out there in the men's. And still awaiting on the radio schedule to find out where I'll be going later in that weekend. Looking like potentially Rockingham on Saturday night. So that'll be an absolute beauty as well. And look, finals are always fun. But there's one thing that they're all playing for this weekend, isn't there, Brett? And you and I are going to be there. All of these players that are playing this weekend will want to be there. And I think some of the people listening to this show want to be there too.
Well, you're talking, of course, about the upcoming grand finals. So, of course, we've got our semis and preliminaries this weekend, and then the grand finals down there at Bendat Basketball Centre on the Friday night. I think it's is that Friday the 2nd of September?
That's
we've
right.
Got the women's game, 7:30 p.m. tip off, and then Saturday night there's a 7 p.m. tip off for the men's grand final. So the big festival of basketball across that weekend.
Yes, it is, and look, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, Saturday night 7 o'clock is the men's one, and Friday 7:30, bit of a later start time, but that'll be good to accommodate those who are working, have to get home and then back. It'll certainly be a lot of fun. Two quality games will be coming up September 2nd and 3rd. Tickets are on sale now. Head to NBL One West Facebook page for the link, or you can search for NBL One West on Ticketmaster, which is where the tickets have gone through. It's going to be a lot of fun. I went last year. They really did an excellent job in the first season of NBL One West, the way they decked out Bendat Basketball Centre. It looked spectacular. They put on a heck of a show, and it's going to be a lot of fun again, no doubt. And you'll see four quality teams across two nights in action, and all vying for that trophy. It should be a lot of fun.
And of course, if you can't get to the game, you can of course check it out online. I presume those matches will be on KO Freebies. Of course, they're also on the NBL One app and the NBL One website. And if you're in your car at that time, you can't get to one of those three, you can also listen on 91.3 Sport FM as well around the Perth metro area.
Yep, and you can listen to that if you're outside the metro area online as well. If you're only in a spot, you can listen. That's certainly been a fun initiative for this final series. I hope it comes into the regular season next year. It's certainly a lot of
talk
fun to
the powers that be.
I'll put a word in. I'll put the hard word in and see if we can make it happen next year and give myself more work to do, Brett.
Jordan Scardetta, thank you once again for your input into this week's NBL One West Radio Show.
Always a lot of fun, Brett, and looking forward to the grand final show next week.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show. Good luck to all the teams participating in the finals across this weekend.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.